now it's showtime.
Well, welcome to another episode of Learning to Lead. This is Trevor DeVage, your host, and I am super excited today. I'm sitting in my office with, really is turning into be one of my best friends and mentors and just speaks wisdom into my life on a regular basis. We gather in my office once a week and we talk ministry, we talk life, we talk a lot of things. We follow some rabbit trails. And you've heard on this podcast, you've heard from pastors, you've heard from recording artists so far. Today, the guy that I want to introduce you to, he's been around all of those people, all of his career. He has a very good take on ministry, a very good take on leadership, a very good take on the church. And I want to introduce you to a friend of mine today. His name is Mark Taylor. And if you're a regular around here or in our movement of churches, you probably know the name Mark Taylor. He worked for Standard Publishing for, gosh, well over 20 years and 40 years, well over 40 years. See, double what I just said. So Mark, welcome to the show today, man. I'm glad you're on.
It's a delight to be here with you, my friend.
So you know a little bit about this podcast. You've kind of been with me in helping develop some of this and talking with some guys about this. So you kind of know the format. But before we dive into that, Mark, why don't you just give me a little background of you, who you are? You got some family, you got some kids, you've been in ministry really your entire life, but maybe from a different outlook.
Yeah, I served at Standard Publishing, which became Christian Standard Media, for almost 41 years, actually. It was most of my career. Before that, I served as education minister for a couple years at the church in Longmont, Colorado, and Dale McCann was the preacher there. We've been members here at Christ Church in Mason for well over 30 years, probably 35 years. Actually served on staff here for 4 years part-time while I was editor of The Lookout. Did Christian education ministry here when the church was, you know, several hundred members, 300 or 400 members, I think, at that time. It had a whole staff of part-time people except the senior minister. And we had great fun with each other. And after a little while, I decided, after I go to church and do some planning, I've used up my 15 hours. So the part-time thing only lasted for a while, but it got us here, and we've been here ever since. We moved to this community in order to go to live with the people we went to church with, and we've just stayed here all the years since then.
Yeah. Now, you've got a beautiful wife, Evelyn.
My wife, Evelyn, taught at Cincinnati Christian University for 35 or 38 years or something like that. Our daughter, Jennifer Johnson, is a minister's wife in Pennsylvania and is also communications person, directs the communications work for Johnson University. For a number of years before that, she did a lot of freelance blogging and editing and writing. She's been in touch with a lot of your listeners by working with them on a number of projects. Before that, she worked for the North American Christian Convention. My son, Jeff, is a school teacher in Long Island. He lives in New York City with his wife. They have a beautiful, precocious, brilliant, handsome, delightful son who is about 2 years old. He's the light of our lives. And
you didn't sound proud at all right there.
She has a very responsible executive assistant position in New York City, and they're great Christian folks also. So we have a lot to be proud of with our kids and their spouses.
Well, it's been a pleasure over the last, 6 years that we've been doing life together, getting to know your family, and I would agree with all of the sentiments that you just gave. And one thing that I know, Mark, is that you're a student of church, of ministry, of leadership, and I love the insights and the thoughts that you give. And so I'm going to ask you really the same three questions we ask every episode, and I'm going to start with what's arguably probably the hardest of the three, and it's just simply, what is the greatest leadership failure that you've ever had in your leadership tenure?
Well, I could probably name quite a few of them, but in thinking about answering that question for you today, I thought about this. I came to the Lookout magazine as editor when I was 26 years old. At that time, it had a circulation of well above 150,000, probably 175,000 at some time while I was the editor there. I think back on it now and can't believe that I had that responsibility at that age. It was my dream job. I had worked as an intern and a part-time editor at Standard before I went to Longmont, Colorado. When I got called back to Standard, it was my dream job. And in retrospect, I really do believe that I had too much success too soon. And I didn't realize it at the time, and I didn't. I thought I knew what I was doing, and it was great. And, you know, it toddled along. It did fine. But my greatest failure was not working harder at getting better and growing more from day one until I was sort of pressed to do that. And that would be my answer to that question.
Yeah, well, and I think that in some regards, Mark, I think that's a lot of us when we're younger. You know, you have some success and you don't realize that, well, that's not how this just usually goes. And then you almost start to buy into that a little bit, and it can really turn around and bite you pretty quickly. So on the adverse of that, Mark, what would you say then is your greatest leadership success over your last either 40 years or even beyond?
Well, I Standard Publishing was going through a lot of transition without going into all that history. And I was, for a number of years, I worked with a number of people to try to find a new home for Standard Publishing in general or for Christian Standard Lookout in particular. And I would say my greatest success, the thing that I've feel best about, is that I stuck with that until it came to a good resolution. It would have been more comfortable to bail a little sooner than that, or it would have been comfortable to say, well, you know, it's not my problem. I mean, I'm working here, but I worked with a number of people. A lot of the ideas we tried to make happen didn't happen. But as a result of a lot of people knowing that something had to happen, something did. And it came to a good resolution so that I could walk away and feel good about it. And sticking with that to the end, even though I don't know that many people would have appreciated the need to have done that while I was doing it. I think that's maybe the thing I feel best about.
Yeah, well, and you just hit on something we actually talked about in a message here of choosing calling over comfort. You could have easily chosen the comfort, and I don't think anybody would have blamed you to bail a little earlier, but I think that says a lot about your leadership and your character, and the way that you do lead is that you wanted to make sure that the organization was left as good, if not better, than when you got there. Or then when you were in it, and you may feel that it did or it didn't, but you did everything in your power to make sure that you left it well. And from everything I know, you left very well there. You left with reputation intact. And I say that's a huge success to be at a place like that for that long, and to leave well is a huge testimony of good leadership, I think.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's encouraging to hear.
Yeah. And so off of that, you know, talking about leadership failures, talking about leadership successes, what would you say is your best piece of advice for young leaders? I'm relatively still a young leader, you know, and you remind me all the time that I'm still a young leader, which I appreciate. And that's relative, I guess. But what advice would you give to young leaders, especially in the church world, or just young guys in general that are trying to lead better, whether it's their own company, whether it's a corporation they work in, whether it's a small business, a large business, a church? What is the best piece of leadership advice you would give?
Well, we all know so many, hear stories or know about so many leaders who get in trouble, either while they're young or so often it happens in middle age. And I think the best advice I could give, which I have followed in different ways in different periods of time, haven't always followed perfectly myself, but I think it's very important to have at least one person in your life with whom you can be very real. I talked to a friend this week and said, I've got a friend who, he knows all my sins, I know all his sins, we pray for each other regularly. When I say something or do something that's kind of stupid, even if it's on a kind of a small personal level, those things have a way of escalating into bigger problems sometimes. He said he calls me on it. He said we're in touch regularly. And I think searching to find that person, number one, I don't think it's as easy as it sounds. Number two, I don't think this may not always be the professional mentor type coach that so many guys go for these days. We're talking about somebody who may not even be a minister, if you're a minister, but somebody that you can develop trust with, who can say to you, you know, can call you on your junk, and you'll be better for it. I think it tends to work well if it's a mutual thing. Although, as we have talked about before, I think sometimes it's a counselor you pay to hear that junk and to call you on it to say you've said X, Y, and Z, but that doesn't work with A that you just said to me. So, I think too many of us we're afraid to do that. I think men hesitate to. It's difficult for men to develop that kind of relationship with another fella, another friend, but it can be really crucial in leadership success. And I think that's the advice I would offer.
Well, and I think you know this from just spending time in my world. I couldn't survive without those kind of relationships. I've got the mentor group and it's not really, we called our mentor group, but we're all in this thing. There's like six of us, and Cal Jernigan out in Phoenix, and he was the first podcast we had on here. He's poured into us, and really, he gives us everything of him, and we know everything about Cal, and he knows everything about us. And I think it's so key that, and I think in a lot of regards, it has to be somebody outside of your organization. It's hard sometimes to do that, especially in church world. It's hard to have that person in your organization because the lines get blurred really quickly between I'm your pastor and I'm your friend. And sometimes you can't handle me being your friend because I'm your pastor or vice versa. But I think it's great advice. Everybody needs somebody, and we need people to walk through life with. So before we kind of get off here today, Mark, any leadership resources that you would tell people they ought to check out, whether it's a book or it's a podcast or it's a website? I know, like your daughter Jen, I read her stuff. I wish she was still blogging more than she is. She's phenomenal at what she does, but I know there's resources that you read, you look at, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Christian or non-Christian. It can be anything and above, but what are some things you would tell people to go check out?
Well, you know, I have a friend, my friend Roy Lawson says that he feels like we develop as leaders by reading a lot more than just books about leadership. There's a plethora of leadership stuff out there with that and under that category on the website or in the bookstores or in the catalogs. So, you know, I don't have an overarching handbook for leaders that you ought to read, but I'll tell you about a book that I've just read that many of you probably have read, and that's this little book called With by Sky Jethany, who used to be with Leadership Magazine. His proposition is that most world religions and most Christians relate to God in one of four inadequate ways. Either they're working for God, their whole life is about serving God, or they're expecting things from God. You know, I go to God to get things from Him, or they're under God. I got to make God happy, or my life's going to be cursed. Or they're over God. I figured this out. Either they're unbelievers, or I figured this out. And if I do the right things, this is what will happen. They put themselves over God. And he says, the way to relate to God is with God. To walk with God. It's a transforming, to me anyway, it's a transformative way to think about my relationship with God. I'm still thinking through it, frankly. In fact, I meet with a small group of guys for a Bible study during the year, and one of them suggested this book, and some of us read it this summer, and I've suggested to one or two other people that I hope they'll read it and I can read it again, because I think it's a very freeing thing to say, you know, God wants us to be with Him, not in some other relationship with Him. I think a lot of leaders would be blessed spiritually to read the book and would find a lot of people they'd like to read the book with.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'll put that in the show notes at the bottom of this. But Mark, thanks for being just a wonderful man of God that I respect. Thanks for being a humble leader. I know that you prefer sometimes the behind the scenes, but I love that at least with the voice that you have, you should be doing radio or have your own podcast. I would just listen to your voice every day if you would put something out there content-wise. And I think you offer a lot to not just myself, but leaders all over the country. I got friends that you and I both have mutual that I love that you're a guy when I go places people talk well of, and they always want to make sure that I know that they want you to be encouraged by them. So, man, thanks for being on this. It's encouragement that you've been a part of this podcast, and we'll see you on the next episode of Learning to Lead.